This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The owner of the private Russian military contractor, the Wagner Group, which is fighting for Russia and Ukraine, wants the Russian defense minister ousted and calls on his troops to march on the capital. CBS's Ian Lee in Dnipro, Ukraine.
The war of words has exploded into public. Yevgeny Prigozhin, who leads the Wagner mercenary group, has accused the Russian Ministry of Defense of a deadly missile strike on his troops, allegedly killing dozens. In an audio message on social media, he's vowed to march for justice and punish those responsible. Russia's defense ministry has denied the attack, while Russian state media says Prigozhin has been accused of calling for an armed rebellion.
Officials are still searching the ocean floor for evidence after the destruction of the Titan submersible. CBS's Roxana Saberi says some question why the expedition was allowed to go ahead.
The search for the submersible survivors is now a search for answers as investigators analyze debris found on the ocean floor to find out what went wrong.
Well, you can x-ray pieces to check for tiny cracks that might develop in the metal. And
David Marquet is a retired Navy submarine captain.
It's going to be hard to distinguish, well, was this because it blew apart?
The Coast Guard says the 22-foot Titan broke into fields of debris, including its nose cone and both ends of the pressure hull.
President Biden signs an executive order aimed at expanding access to birth control. It comes almost a year to the day of the Supreme Court decision that struck down federal abortion protections. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
The president's executive power is limited when it comes to actually, you know, legalizing or codifying abortion rights and contraceptive rights, which is, of course, still wrapped up in the courts. And so even though the president did sign this executive order, it doesn't really have any teeth.
New research finds there could be a sharp increase in the number of people with diabetes worldwide by 2050, challenging health systems worldwide because diabetes is linked to heart disease and stroke. Details from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The global study underway since 1990 is led by researchers at the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. They conclude that every country in the world will experience increases in the number of diabetes cases in the next 30 years. CBS News Radio asked study co-author and lead research scientist Kenyon Lena Ong, who should be taking action to stop the increase in diabetes cases.
Policymakers, it's healthcare systems, researchers, medical community, public health, community health workers, it is the individual, it is industry.
This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way.
Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattiner.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
Who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's The Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
.com. Elevate your cooking game with vinaigrette.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook any cookie.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Jake. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
A lot going on this weekend. You know, we got the Two-Spirit Powwow happening, Haley, and also Pride Week. And we'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the show. And, of course, we'll have State Senator Mary Kunish on today. But I want to get with one of our sisters out here, one of our great partners here, that Angie Vig of Vig Guitars, and just check in and see how things are going. Angie, great to see you. How are you? Thanks for coming on. What's happening at Vig Guitars?
Who's you? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Oh, we are just primed up for summer, and we got Back to the 50s going on at the fair, so at our big window, we could see all these really cool old cars going back and forth, and it's, oh my gosh, it's so fun to see all that.
Tell everybody where you're located, Angie.
So we are at 595 Snelling Avenue North in St. Paul in the Midway area, and we're just south of the fair and north of 94.
Right on. And then you own a Vig Guitars, and we see our listening audience, of course, can't see this, but all those beautiful guitars you have hanging from the wall here, just a beautiful background. Talk a little bit about your business and what you have to offer. We just love supporting Native businesses here.
Yeah, we are the biggest repair shop in the Twin Cities and in the whole state. We have five luthiers here. Luthiers build and repair wooden instruments, stringed instruments, and Ted Handline's pickups. And even though they can't see it, but these are pickups. And so he handwinds pickups. And they differentiate everybody's sound in their guitars and basses.
Very cool.
And they go what? This right here.
What? I want that guitar.
A miniature guitar. I thought it was easier than grabbing a whole big old guitar.
That's awesome. I want that guitar. I think I could place it. Oh, no, you got a microphone too. What the heck, Angie? That's awesome.
I'm really happy to be an indigenous female business owner. And it's really great being part of the community. And you know, a lot of our customers, the Buffalo Heads and Blue Dog and everybody in the Pretendians.
Yeah.
And Mitch Walking Elk has been here, and there's a lot of people that have been here.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And tomorrow we are, my band is finally getting together and playing for Ted's birthday at Shaw's Bar in Minneapolis. And we're called Bad Lucky. So everybody's been waiting because the last time we played was the weekend of the shutdown. So it's been a few years. I mean, we've played with other people, but not our band. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty fun.
That is fun. What do you guys, what kind of music do you guys play?
Oh, funk and rock and blues.
Oh.
And Motown. Just
right on.
We like to boogie. And if, so back to the shop, if you don't play guitar, we have shirts. This one.
Wow.
Can't see. We have like twins, kind of twins themed shirts for the summer. And got playing cards.
Wow. That's cool. So
it was nice seeing you at the market a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The launch.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like we can stop at Big Guitars and pick up a lot of cool stuff. I like the colors you have there for the Twins Big. That's really cool. Kind of a takeoff on the Twins colors and Twins jerseys and playing cards, all the needs that you need for your musician friends.
Everything. Yeah, we're great for gifts if you don't know what to get them. Say our mutual friend Roya came in last Saturday, and next time you got to come with.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Roya's doing good, and Ed, we can talk a little about Roya. Roya has a show on KFAI that's an art show now, a Native American art show on KFAI, and we're really proud of Roya and all the things that is done. Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. There's just so much going on this weekend. Holy smokes. It's going to be like busier than Super Bowl weekend. It's a lot.
Well, we got Taylor Swift that is playing in Minneapolis. That's going to be a traffic jam. And then we got Pride weekend here, the big parade for Pride. And I see you got a cool shirt that's a rainbow color shirt.
Yeah, we're really supportive of the whole community. And speaking of the concert, I can't believe people can afford to go to that concert. I used to have to stand in line for NKOTB, New Kids on the Block tickets, and we could barely afford those. And we had to like stand overnight and wait for tickets. And oh my gosh, so I can't imagine how these kids do it.
I know. Yeah. I saw the Rolling Stones in their farewell concert tour in 1976 in downtown St. Paul for $350. You know, their farewell tour that didn't last that long because they've had about 10 farewell tours since.
It's like every tour.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But yeah, things have changed. I was going to go try and see Springsteen in New York, and it was like $500 for a ticket. And I'm going, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and it doesn't even all go to them. That's like the most ridiculous part. It's terrible. It's just so unfair.
Well, the best way to support artists is to go where you're playing and where local artists play. I think that's the best way to do it, Angie.
That's directly goes to them and their livelihood and their contribution to the music scene and arts. It's I don't know. We're so spoiled here with all of our musicians that we have.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your guitars. What is like your cat's pajamas? What is something that could come in there and go, there's a Stratocaster, there's some kind of 1950s guitar, you know, what do you have there? Or what have you had over the years that you just go, oh my gosh, people want this guitar?
Well, I'll show you one. So there's a company Guild, and they make this one is really old. This is I think it's 60s or 70s. It's a really, really beautiful guitar. The funny thing about this one is there's a built-in stand, so you can stand it up by yourself. But Waylon suggested it's pretty rickety because it's so old. But that was one of the cool inventive ideas.
You're breaking up a little, Angie, moving around. Your audio's breaking up a little, but your video isn't, which is interesting.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll show you a little bit.
Wow, it's beautiful.
Yeah, we have just so many. And every day something different comes in.
Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah. And again, Vig Guitars, and you're on Snelling Avenue, 595 Snelling Avenue in St. Paul. If you want to call, it's 219-4941. That's 6561 area code. And vigguitarshop@gmail.com. We just always love checking in with you, Angie. And I know you do it great for the community and having this shop, and then also being an indigenous person owning this great guitar shop. I just wanted to say, we wanted to reach out and say, how are you doing?
You say Pino for short? Yes.
We can say Pino short. We can shorten it up. But hey, thanks for stopping in. Again, Angie Vig, Vig Guitars, great community store, and go there for your music needs.
Good, you guys. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there.
Oh, we will. Good to see you. Wow, that was awesome, Haley.
Yes, we love our guitars.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on every Friday. Let's take a listen.
Everyone, State Senator Mary Kunish here. It is Friday, June 23rd, 2023, and I am visiting with you from the beautiful city of Seattle, Washington. I'm out here for a conference that is for education chairs, legislative education chairs. So there are a wide variety of state legislators out here taking deep dives into early learning education. There's education chairs retreat, and we're looking at how we're funding our education. And this is being sponsored and hosted by the National Conference of State Legislators. So there's legislators from all over the states here convening to talk about these important issues. And here in Minnesota, I'm the chair of the Education Finance Committee in the Minnesota Senate. And so this past session, We had a surplus of dollars. Much of it was due to the fact that we had some of the money from COVID that the federal government handed out. But we also had a surplus from tax revenues in Minnesota. And then the last couple of years, we had a split government where the House, the Minnesota House, was majority Democrat, and the Senate was majority Republicans, and we have a, of course, Democrat governor. And so in spite of being two-thirds Democrat, we still had a hard time getting some of the legislation that needed to be done because Republicans wouldn't agree with how we wanted to do things or how we wanted to spend the money. And so at the end of last session, 2022, we didn't come to an agreement, and so those dollars sat there, and we ended up with a considerable surplus. This year, this past session, we started in January and ended just before Memorial Day, and this time around, after the elections, the Democrats took the Senate majority here in Minnesota. And so we had what we called a trifecta, or a supermajority, where our Democrats are the majority in the House, the Senate, and then we still have our Dem governor, which meant that we were able to do a lot of things that had been kind of held up over the past couple of years in our split legislature. And one of them was to really invest in education. And so I had $5.2 billion that went towards early education from our very, very earliest learners, right through elementary, middle school, high school, looked at how we could better fund community ed and adult basic education as well, because we want folks to be lifelong learners. And so this conference that I'm at is looking at all of those things, and it's great to meet some of the legislators from across the states, whether they're Democrat or Republican. I think education really is an important priority for all of our states. So I came out here on Tuesday, and I will be leaving tomorrow having learned a lot and made some really good connections. But it was a busy week on our calendar as well. I believe we celebrated Juneteenth across the state. So I want to say and recognize the state holiday, well, national holiday of Juneteenth. But this year, Minnesota recognized Juneteenth as a state holiday for the very, very first time. And so those of you who are not familiar with Juneteenth, it's also known as Freedom Day, and it commemorates the day that the Union troops arrived in Texas with news that the African-American slaves were free. And of course, it's interesting. It's interesting, the whole story behind Juneteenth and this Freedom Day. How do we explain this? So what happened with Juneteenth is that, of course, during the Civil War, at the end, the slaves were released and from enslavement, and the slave owners didn't always tell those slaves what had happened. They were still kept in the dark, and they continued to work for their white previous owners for a long time. It finally happened that, in spite of the fact that everyone in Confederate territory were freed upon the end, when the Emancipation Proclamation made it effective in the, I think it was 1863, it couldn't, and it didn't go into action until there was no longer Confederate control. And so as a result, especially in the state of Texas, those enslaved people were not free until much later. And that day, that Freedom Day, finally came on June 19th, 1865, when the Armory announced that more than 250,000 slaves, black slaves in the state, were free by that executive decree. And from that point on, that day was known as Juneteenth. And so we celebrate those freed slaves at that time. But there was also another holiday this week, and it was in the National Indigenous Peoples Day. And even though we are used to celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, you know, in November or October, this is a unique holiday because it's celebrated on June 21st. And if you all know what June 21st is, it is our summer solstice day. It's the longest day of the year. And so for many generations, many of our Indigenous groups and communities celebrate and recognize their culture and heritage on that long, long day of June 21st. So I want to recognize that and acknowledge that holiday for our Native Americans and our Canadian brothers and sisters, and just know that there is a lot of important things happening for our Native communities as we go forward. What else do we want to talk about? There's the tragedy of the Titanic. Oh my gosh, goodness. I always wondered, you know, the tragedy that happened on the Titanic, and then the fact that they were sending these little submarines down there forever to take a look at it. It's really kind of devastating in so many ways, and I've heard it described as, you know, they compare the tragedy of the five that were lost on the Titan submarine very similar to the actual Titanic disaster itself, and the captain, they said, it said, was repeatedly warned about that ice ahead of his ship, and he just decided he was going to steam full forward. And if I'm not mistaken, there was some warning that the Titan was not quite up to the last dive. And there it is; those folks passed away on the floor of the ocean there. And we want to just, you know, show our condolences and recognize the tragedy of those that lost their life in pursuit of an adventure that many of us could never, ever dream of. But yet it is certainly a tragedy, a national tragedy, not just for the United States, but for those out in the ocean and those explorers that continue to want to know and curious and won't settle down or rest until they've been able to master or experience an experience that is unique to everybody else. But I think we're coming up on a break here, folks, and so we're going to stop here for a minute, and I'll be back in just a short time. Until then, sit tight. And see you in a few.
We'll be right back with more with State Senator Mary Kunis. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The head of private military contractor, the Wagner Group, fighting for Russia and Ukraine, calls for an armed rebellion aimed at ousting Russia's defense minister. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of Wagner, accused the Russian military, so his own side, of launching a missile strike on a Wagner base camp, killing, he said, lots of Wagner fighters.
CBS's Roxana Saberi on an interview with submersible industry expert Rob McCallum, who says he tried warning of the dangers involving the vessel that imploded, killing all five on board.
And McCallum says he was alarmed about the culture at OceanGate. He says anytime anyone raised a safety concern there, that Rush would take it as a personal affront.
At a D.C. political rally, President Biden received the endorsement of three abortion rights groups. Mr. Biden says Republicans are underestimating pro-choice Americans.
That the women of America would remain silent was just beyond comprehension. That Kamala and I would remain silent. Well, we're not. We will not remain silent.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Listen good, more honey. With State Senator Mary Kunish.
And I'm back. It's State Senator Mary Kunish here, and we're talking about things going on around Minnesota. And one other thing I just thought I would talk a little bit about is this study that just came out by the Department of Justice. And that study confirms what we knew all along, that our Minneapolis police really do discriminate against people of color, especially our Native Americans. There was last week, the Attorney General Merrick Garland announced that and identified that federal investigators really do discriminate against not only our Black people, but also our Native Americans. And they made it clear for the very first time, and they shared their findings for the very first time, that the Minneapolis Police Department definitely discriminates against Black and Native people by disproportionately using force during stops. And we knew that that was happening, and there had been many complaints over the years, and this just confirmed it. So there was, of course, the terrible, terrible, brutal murder of George Floyd in 2020. And after that happened, there was a two-year federal investigation here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis specifically. And of course, they confirmed that our Minneapolis Public Department of Police continued to use excessive force and discriminated people against people due to their race. But they reviewed five years of data, and they looked at about 187,000 traffic and pedestrian stops from November 2016 to August 2022, and found that MPD searches and uses force on Blacks and Native Americans more frequently than during any of the stops of white people, even when they behave similarly or they're stopping them for the same reason. And the Attorney General, Kristen Clark, again, Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, confirmed that they have actual findings. For the first time, they have actual findings that the police department unlawfully discriminates by using force. And, you know, that we look at data, we collect data, and oftentimes there's only certain people that have access to that data. And so while we know it and anecdotally and in a lot of other ways, we weren't able to prove it. And so this study, you know, they spent a lot of money, they spent a lot of time to come up with what we'd been trying to tell them for a long, long time. And it's finally good to see that they've named it, and that the experiences of our Native folks, our folks of color, are validated, especially in our Indigenous community, where nobody seemed to want to be listening to it at all. And for those of you that don't know, here in Minnesota, we're very proud of the American Indian Movement. And it was the American Indian Movement, our AIM, was formed here in Minneapolis in 1968 in reaction to police brutality against our Native folks. And the history of it here is very clear in Minnesota. The head of the NAACP in Minneapolis back in 1975, I think his name was Arthur Cunningham, he's the head of the NAACP, declared war on, accused the Minneapolis Police Department of declaring war on Blacks and Indians. And for that reason, as time went on in the 1980s, Native Americans decried what was happening because they knew they were being targeted by the police, who just justified it by saying, you know, oh, those Indians are just drunk and they're disorderly. And there's just been that long-standing problem with the Department of Police. Here in Minnesota, we actually have a large number of Native Americans, and there was a study by the Federal Reserve Bank a couple years ago that illustrated very clearly allegations of disparate treatment in those traffic stops and excessive force. And for a long time, our Indigenous people were sort of invisible in our community. And I think especially with the rise in missing and murdered Indigenous women and the fact that there are more and more Natives that are representing their community in different capacities, there's a growing awareness of it. And so I think it's really important to know that when these things are happening, that we are making sure that we're calling it for what it is, and we're able to address those disparities, especially that kind of brutality, in the most important way. There was, unfortunately, the loss of a woman here in Minnesota this past week as well. Her name was Dawn White Owl. She's a 42-year-old woman, and she died while in custody at the Red Lake Detention Center on the Red Lake Nation here in Minnesota. She and her daughter were booked into the jail, and they were put in the same cell. And the daughter complained again and again of her mother being ill. Her mother was taken to the hospital and then returned to the jail. And nobody would listen when her daughter continued to say her mother needed help. And unfortunately, her mother passed away. And there's always these complications with whose jurisdiction, especially when it comes to the law. Whose jurisdiction is it? So here in Minnesota, we are a public law 280 state, and that's where the federal government, not the state or the tribe, are responsible for investigating these kind of deaths. And Red Lake exempted themselves from public law 280. Because Red Lake is a closed reservation, and those non-members don't have land on the reservation, the law does not apply, Public Law 280. And so, therefore, the Red Lake Nation and the federal government have jurisdiction over crimes and deaths that are on the reservation. The Red Lake Detention Center is actually regulated by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the BIA. And so it is subject to federal laws, policies, and any mandates. So it is really up to that responsibility. And there was a study not too long ago in 2021 that stated that nearly 28% of our BIE correctional officers and the staff who spend most of the time, their time, supervising inmates had not completed training to be certified in first aid or suicide prevention or even the ability to handle a lot of medical emergencies. And so subsequently, there was another report that came about, and that was published by the U.S. Department of Justice just a month ago, May of 2023, showed that four persons died while in custody in our tribal jails or detention centers, and 12 months before before June 30th of 2022, three of them by suicide. So it's important that we are starting to collect this information and share it. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, there's 80 detention centers operating in Indian country, and not all of those our federally recognized tribes have those detention centers. So we know that collecting data in Indian country has been a challenge in every aspect, whether it's our MMIR, whether it's education, whether it's healthcare. But that collection of data is so important. And unfortunately, when it comes to incarceration rates, our American Indians are often excluded. And You know, I see a lot of statistics, even with this convention around education, where we have Black, Hispanic, Asian, you know, these different categories, and they oftentimes leave out Native Americans. And because of that, the services and the attention doesn't get done. And when there is data available for American Indian people, it often shows higher number of disparities. And that certainly is the case in our criminal justice system. And I think all of us can agree and know that Native Americans are very much disproportionately represented in our criminal justice system. Here in Minnesota, according to the Minnesota Department of Corrections, American Indians represent more than 9% of the state prison population, but we are just a little bit more than 1% of the state population. And this is especially bad for women. 20% of the women in our state's prison system are American Indian. And so there is much to do here in Minnesota around this issue. We'll continue to do this. Our time is up. I want to wish everybody a safe and sacred week, and I'll see you in a week from today. Take care.
Wow, Pinagigi, Mary, what a great update. I love that. I'm going to start saying that. Have a safe and sacred week. That's awesome, Haley. What a great update.
Travels back from Seattle, Washington, Mary, to back to Minnesota.
Yeah, she should be here tonight, I guess. Up next, we're going to talk a little about what's happening in the Twin Cities, and what a great show this was. Hey, we're here. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line light rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org. Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, this is Angela Warner for Warner Selling and Appliance. Do you have a dishwasher that doesn't really clean your dishes so you have to? Or a refrigerator that kind of keeps your milk cold and you've just been waiting for the right time to buy? Well, Warner Stellion has the lowest prices of the season with exclusive savings, including free dishwasher installation on brands like Bosch, and up to 10% off and a bonus for each additional appliance you buy for up to $1,000. See what I mean at warnerstellion.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Sounds pretty good for two people howling there, Haley.
That was good. It was harmonic, for sure.
Exactly. Hey, which makes another note. Hey, so we got a lot going on this weekend. We have Pride, the Pride Parade in Minneapolis. We also have a Two-Spirit Powwow. Do you know exactly where that is? It's done by
Yeah.
New Native Theater.
Yeah, so New Native Theater is putting this on. This is their second annual Reclaiming Our Identities Two-Spirit Powwow. This will be tomorrow, June 24th, at South High School in Minneapolis. The address for that is 3131 19th Avenue. I believe that is starting from, I think it's 8 or 10 in the morning, and it goes till second grand entry starts at 3 p.m. So
all right.
It's an all-day thing.
Try and make those a grand entries. The first one looks like I didn't have my I wasn't zeroing in on that poster, but the first one looked like it was at 11, which is somewhat early for grand entry. But it's good. It should be good weather. It's cooled down. Rain today here, and we like that. So, Haley, what do you got going this weekend? I mean, there's so many things going on. I have a funeral I have to want to attend from a tribal member's son and in Minneapolis. So there's a lot happening, and it's that time of year. And I don't know, has the air been affecting you? Because I try to get out and walk early. Early, Haley, I try to get out and walk early, but it seems like as the day goes on, the air gets worse and worse.
I know, especially, I feel like it's been a little bit better compared to, I think, probably last week when we were talking about it. But, yeah, lots of stuff going on in the Twin Cities this weekend. Like you said, it's Pride weekend. And we also have Taylor Swift. She's playing multiple shows at, she'll be at U.S. Bank Stadium here in Minneapolis. I wonder if they're going to have the giant windows open or not.
I don't know. I've never been in that place.
You've never been to U.S. Bank?
No, I refuse to go there because U.S. Bank supports pipelines, and so I refuse to go in there. There's a big, long story. Wendy and I saw U2 at the stadium at the U of M parades, the stadium. What is that? Is that TCF?
It's Huntington Bank now, but it used to be TCF Bank Stadium.
Right, and it was one of the most spiritual experiences, warm rain. We got to see you too. So the next time we came in, I just assumed it was going to be there again, and it was at U.S. Bank. And so we sold our tickets because we didn't want to support that bank that supports pipelines. So
I guess U.S. Bank will never...
Sense. U.S. Bank will never, do commercials on our show here either.
Well, yeah, the Vikings can't win either. But
that's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. But Pride weekend, we got Twin Cities Pride and Taylor Swift. So, like, I don't know. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so, because I don't know if a lot of our listeners know Taylor Swift. I'm not the biggest Swiftie fan, but I will confess I had her first country album back in the day on a CD. But I do love that she's been such a positive role model for so many young women. And she's an ally of the LGBTQ plus and two-spirited people. Right. So I don't know if you know. Do you know a lot of her songs? You've probably listened to the radio.
No, I don't.
She's on the radio a lot.
I'm stuck on Sirius Radio, which I shouldn't be promoting, but I listen to the 70s all the time, and that was a great era of music, and I get lost in there because that's when I was a teen. I was
I forgot a child of the 60s.
Yeah, I was a child of the 60s and a teen of the 70s. And so there was a lot of great music and a lot of great memories I listened to. So I don't get to listen to, it must be one of those, Boomer Bobby that is now stuck in the 70s. I think that's what's happened. Yeah. I was big in the 90s, though. The 90s music was awesome, too. That kind of grunge coming back and really being pure rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, I was born in 98, but I agree with you. I mean, all I really listen to, I love. I think we talked about this before, too, but 80s rock and 90s had a couple good stuff, too. I think going back to Taylor Swift, one of her songs, You Need to Calm Down. Do you remember
Easy.
That one?
Probably not. Easy.
But she, one of her lyrics. One of her lyrics, she says, "Shade never made anybody less gay." So shade meaning, just being mean, bullying, oppressing people. of those communities, which, you know, we don't stand for that. But again, we have the 51st annual Twin Cities Pride Festival going on all weekend.
Wow. 51st. Wow.
I know. I didn't
think that.
That
parade, too, and I'm sure it's going to be back in full force, but that parade, too, was at least 250,000 people on the parade route. I think there's even more, but that is jam-packed parade, and I know Wendy and I have made it many times out there, and the pandemic's kind of messed it up over the last few years, but I think it's going to be a big, strong comeback, and especially what's happening politically, you know, around the country, and the attack on our GLBT relatives. And, you know, as we talk about here many times, Haley, I just got to remind everyone, I'll probably bring this up once a week, but you know, in the Native community, we have leaders, and one of the leaders is the medicine man in a lot of tribes. You know, the healers, and then we also have the two spirits, and the two spirits and the medicine leaders and the medicine women and men, but mostly men. But in those days, were the ones that were first murdered by the colonizers because they held. Both sexes, you know, they could do a lot of things. They were the nurturers. They were also, so they're very sacred. And I'm glad that people talk about that now again in a tribal way and in a Native way and a Indian way and in a good way. Yeah. So it's good to bring up every once in a while.
Yeah, I agree. So the Pride Festival, that's free. And they invite all members and allies. So this is good. This is held at Loring Park and Parade Park in Minneapolis. And this is going to be all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's featuring local BIPOC and LGBTQ plus vendors, food courts, a beer garden and music stages. And then, of course, they got their Pride March on Sunday from 11 to 2 on Hennepin Avenue. And then also, I just wanted to mentioned to, I just want to make sure everyone's safe. If you go to their website, you can go to tcpride.org/festival and sign up for their safety alerts. If you text TC Pride to 333-111, you can sign up for important alerts from their health and safety team.
Wow, that's really good news.
Right.
So everyone just be safe too. And, you know, I don't want to put a caveat into this, but just everyone be safe and be aware when you're out in situations like this, because of all these things that go on now, not in a good way, just be vigilant and keep your eyes peeled and be safe.
Yeah. And just know that, all of us here at Native Roots Radio, We accept you. We love you. We're proud of you. And yeah, we're here for you.
Right on. That's part of the whole show is to support, you know, as you know, Haley, listening to the show and now being the producer of the show, I don't really have a lot of knowledge, but we have a lot of great guests that have a lot of knowledge that we bring to the community. And we are so appreciative. And And we're here to promote and be a total positive in the neighborhood.
Yes, an ally for life.
That's right. Good one. Hey, have a good weekend, Haley. I want to say a quick shout out to Senator Kunish and then Angie Vig for stopping in with her great guitar store. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Now.
The look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.